Last week, I preached a message which I entitled, "Help My Unbelief." And we looked at Mark chapter 9 in the account of the man had the father with the man who was a father, who had a son, who was demon-possessed in Mark chapter 9. And I am doing a study on the importance of faith. The importance of faith. And that being the first message where we see how Jesus called those that were looking in on this situation. He said, "Oh, you faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me," he said. And of course, in interacting with this man, Jesus said to him in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And I was encouraged by that exhortation, or how shall I say, that cry. It was an exhortation to my heart that in times when I will doubt, in times when I lack faith, in times when I have fear, in times when I am overcome with anxiety, "Lord, I believe," in times when we're not wholehearted in that statement, we are not to just camp out in our unbelief, but yet cry out to the Lord, "Help me. Help thou my unbelief." And I'm remembering what took place with Peter as he was walking on the water, and he saw the storms raging, and he began to sink. And instead of just sinking down to sure doom, what did he do? He said, "Lord, save me." And I am encouraged by those examples in the scriptures, because I, perhaps like you, have times when I lack faith, when I cannot see fully through whatever circumstance, situation, relationship, whatever it might be. And deep down in you want to say, "Lord, I believe," but boy, there's a lot of unbelief. And may the cry of your heart be, "Lord, help me. Help my unbelief." So as I chewed on that, and because you've got to know, as a preacher, my heart is impacted too at the close of a service after hearing the message. And I was reminded of this statement, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I thought of that statement and I was like, is that in the Bible? And it is. It is in the Bible. You know how sometimes we get these statements and we're like thinking they're in the Bible, but they're really not. But for we walk by faith, not by sight. So I was like, that's in the Bible. Where is it in the Bible? Well, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So let's go there tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And embedded in this letter, right in the middle of it, is this statement that in my Bible is in parentheses. I don't think they had parentheses in the original languages, but most translators will take this as almost an aside, as something that is assumed, something that Paul interjects as an important point, just to help the argument flow. I just want you to notice 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So there you see it. short little statement. There's not much that can be said or about its those words. They're so very clear. I mean, to spend much time breaking that apart, I think, would not benefit us as much as talking about the reality of this in our lives. The application, shall I say. Think about what it says. We walk by faith, not by sight. Think about what we've talked about last week with this man whose son was healed. The Lord Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Could the man see that this Jesus was going to heal his son? Did he know that? No, he did not know that. But he believed. He had faith. He knew what he was to do was to believe what Jesus said, but even more importantly, who he was. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe you. But boy, it's awfully hard because I can't see it happen before me. Well, this is fundamental to faith. You see, faith demands that we not see. What does Hebrews say? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Some of you may have that memorized. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Dear church, Christianity is a faith. It's faith. Everything we stand on is based upon a faith. A faith in God and His Word that it is true. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it would be good for us to read a little bit of the context, and I realize time is short. But I want you to look at what Paul is saying here. So we're going to pick it up in chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, keeping in mind that this statement's coming, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That's coming. So now let's look at what he says to build up to that point. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. That's from Psalm 116. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Yes, we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, Paul began by speaking of troubles in his life. In that text, he's troubled on every side and yet not distressed. He's perplexed, but not in despair, you saw. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And we ask ourselves, wow, what is it that would bring a person to that place? To being able to say such things like, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I am not destroyed. Paul very much had a life full of persecution, full of times of difficulty, and yet he kept on going. What is it that prodded him and pushed him on? He walked by faith, not by sight. Application for you today is, are you suffering difficulty? Distresses, persecutions, hardships, afflictions in your life. The natural temptation, according to all that you can see, whether you can see it with your eye, physical eye, or whether it's the logic of mankind, what you can see is hopelessness. But we see and we can learn here from this text that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And so Paul was assured that there was more to this life. There was more than this life. There was a life to come. And I trust that you saw embedded in this text the glory of the resurrection. And not just the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but because he arose, we too will rise. And in the resurrection, we have the glorious truth of being delivered from this body that is cursed with sin into a new body, never to die and suffer again. From a world that is cursed in sin to a life that is no longer bound by the curses of this world. Yeah. Paul speaks about the dying of the Lord Jesus, bearing that in his body, that verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, there is the hardships that come upon us, suffering with Christ, so that the glorious truth that life comes from Christ might be fully revealed to the world. You see, this life that we have is a life, as Christians, is a life that is to be lived where we die to ourselves and we live to Christ. I am reminded of a verse that you know, we probably know very well, Galatians 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. There it is. By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is it that explains people who are going through hard things and yet they are still pressing on for the Lord? It is this truth. We walk by faith and not by sight. And this short little statement embedded in the midst of this argument in the letter to Corinth, we can release for us this precious truth. Are you bound up within? Are you bound up with the distresses of life, with the decay of the body, with the circumstances around? And the question is this: are you walking by faith and not by sight? The flip side is this: you walk by sight and not by faith. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? When you turn it around, that indeed is what the world is living. It is by sight. Indeed, it is a short-sightedness. You need to know that as a pastor, this whole thing that's going on with our town clerk, as I go to the various meetings, I try to go when I can. And I sit there and I hear various testimonials and various comments during the times of public testimony, or however, whatever it's called, public comments, thank you. There's a growing burning within my soul that something needs to be said that has not yet been said. And I want you to pray with me on this, okay? Because I don't want to make a name for myself. I don't want to put myself on the map. I don't want to put this church on the map. I don't want to do that. But yet, what is happening is, we're told, is going to happen. That times are going to get harder. And things are going to happen that do not make sense according to the scriptures and the ways of God. But the answer, there is an answer to this. And there are many in our town that I believe are confused and frustrated as to why do these kinds of things have to happen to our little town. Why does this have to disturb the peace that we have enjoyed for so many years? And there is an answer to that, and it is found in the Word of God. But you know, it demands that a walk by faith and not by sight. Because living according to the sight is going to say we must conform. We must walk in the ways that we are seeing our government lead us. So we need to pray, and I ask you to pray with me on that. That the Lord would grant me the wisdom and if he should so desire me to speak, that I will speak. So, verse 13 of chapter 4, it says, we have the same spirit of faith. Same spirit of faith, according as it is written. What is he talking about? Well, Psalm 116. Man, I wish I had. I'm going to go a little long because I want you to see this, okay? So Psalm 116, the children are doing good, doing well. So, Psalm 116, I want you to look at this. I love the Lord, verse 1, because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Do you see that? The psalmist expresses a faith. This same spirit of faith Paul is agreeing with in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I agree, he says, with the psalmist. I believed, therefore have I spoken. And Paul says this, I agree, the same spirit of faith that is in this psalmist where he says, I believe, therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Are you ever surprised at what just comes out of your mouth? At the burning within that you know you need to say things and they don't always fit, but you need to say them? Dear ones, you believe, therefore you speak. We have a message to say because we live by faith. We believe, therefore we speak. Paul continues in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, the abundant grace and so forth. I'm going to read it. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. Well, why don't you faint? Because I believe. We don't faint because we believe. Though our outward man perish, can I get a witness? Mine is. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We walk by faith, not by sight. For our light affliction, why in the world would he say is a light affliction? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Listen, that is a forward thinking. That's thinking about where we're going and what is to come, not being bound up in what's now. We walk by faith, not by sight. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They only last for a short time. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Christianity in the church, we use that term eternal, everlasting a lot. And sometimes I think it can lose its power. Notice here. Notice the comparisons that are being made. temporal, it's lasting for a short time. Eternal, having no end. Never going away. Never. You know, there are very few situations when we can use all-inclusives like that. But with the Word of God, we can. I believe, so therefore I speak. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so the argument just prior to this statement in verse 7 is that Paul is talking about the longing that is within the heart to be with the Lord. And it's not just to be with the Lord, but to be released from the body that which he calls a tent. This body is our tent. In verse 1 of chapter 5, we see there a couple comparisons. First, we see an earthly house versus a heavenly house. You see the earthly house there. And then you have one that is eternal in the heavens. You also see a tabernacle or a tent versus a building. It is the earthly tabernacle that is the tent. It is the house in the heavens that is the building. And I trust you understand the gravity of this. A tent is just a temporary dwelling place. It's made of fabric. It falls apart over time and under stress. But this building, and this is a very graphic in the original language, it's this comparison, a tent versus an actual structure building. That does not sway in the wind, but that is eternal in the heavens. And that's the last comparison, because the tent is dissolved, goes away. It will decay and fall apart, but the house in the heavens, it's eternal. It's eternal. So you've got the earthly house versus the heavenly house. You've got a tent versus a building. You've got it's dissolved versus it's eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight, dear church. And so we're seeing in this that there is an incredible future ahead of a life that where we will be released of this body that is decaying, and we will be present with the Lord in an eternal dwelling, a body that will never be dissolved. He talks about groaning. Yes, we groan in this body, this tent that we have. And following that discussion in verse 5, he says, "For he has wrought us for the same selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore," you know, we talk about we walk by faith, not by sight. How is that possible? We see the earnest of the Spirit. What's the earnest of the Spirit? It's a down payment. You see that picture? This is the God, Jesus Christ, sent the Spirit as a down payment, as a saying, you know what? The Spirit is with you while I am away. But just keep this in mind. It's my down payment. That there is a future where we're going to be together forever. Well, you will have this incorruptible body, eternal in the heavens. So he says, therefore, we are always confident. Of course he's confident, because Christ has given us the down payment of his Spirit. Church, are you confident? Because he's given you the Spirit. He's given me the Spirit. And so we can, with boldness, with confidence, walk by faith and not by sight, because look at what he says. We're always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, or you could say present in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We're absent from the Lord, but the Spirit is with us. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be, in other words, we want rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Well, we will leave it here, and I trust this has given you much food for thought, but that this statement, walk by faith, not by sight. Think about it. Think about your life. Think about how Paul's perspective here and his life and the distresses that he felt, and yet the comments that he makes only could be said from an individual who realizes this truth. I got to walk by faith, not by sight. Believer, you've got the Spirit of God. He's the down payment. Walk with confidence. Walk by faith. Lord, I thank you for this encouragement. Because I will tell you, Lord, I am very influenced by that which is seen. Oh, God, help us. And I thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. I thank you for the Spirit of God that lives within us. God, you will give us strength. And you will help us. And I pray as we go out from this place that we will be a people that hold our heads looking to you with a confidence in you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.